On this episode of the Autumn Windbags, mind equals blown, Russell Wilson to the Denver Broncos. Did that spell doom for the Raiders? We'll talk about that. We'll get into what this means for Derek Carr's trade value, some AFC West question marks, and the fifth-year option questions as well. And we love when you subscribe, rate, and comment on whatever platform you're listening on. All right, here we go.
I got a dream of winning a Super Bowl. I got a dream of being in a Pro Bowl. I'm really not into dreams anymore, okay? I'm into the nightmares.
The Raiders!
Caught! Touchdown! Raiders!
You're listening to the Autumn Windbags, an audio attack from the Silver and Black. Here are your windbags, RJ Clifford and Juan Soto. Yeah, it is another episode of the Autumn Windbags. RJ Clifford, Juan Soto, let's have some fun today. I told this story on my solo show, but I wanted to share it with you.
Okay.
I met Mark Davis this weekend.
Oh, yeah?
And I'm using the word met very loosely. He was at the UFC, UFC 272.
He was sitting next to what's
Donald Cerrone.
No, on the other side. What's her name?
Shania Twain.
Yes.
Yeah.
She turned me country back in the day. Ooh, she's so hot. Is she still hot?
She's still beautiful.
Oh, yeah. God damn, she's so fine.
She's like in her late 50s, 60s, whatever she is.
I would clap the fuck out of that.
And so I'm working, for you don't know, I work for the UFC. And so I'm on the floor walking one direction, and Mark Davis is walking the other. And he's wearing, you know, you saw him. He's wearing the Raiders starter jacket like he was going to first day of school, right? He's that, like, how many billionaire owners of franchises, of NFL franchises, are going to, A, go to a UFC, B, go to a UFC dressed like that, three,
just
sit on the floor, just hanging out. Like, he's sitting on the floor, right? He's not in a box, you know, like, not surrounded by security. He's just hanging out at UFC. So I'm walking one way on the floor. He's walking the other way, and I kind of see him, and I'm wearing my Raider hat that I'm wearing right now. And I'm working, so I'm not going to, like, get a photo with him or, like, try to stop. You know, he's watching the fight, so I'm not going to stop him, but I just kind of walk by. I just kind of give him a Raiders, and he just kind of gives me that goofy grin and keeps walking. But it got me thinking, it was just like, how many other owners, Steve Kovac asks that question, like, is he relatable? I'm like, compared to other NFL owners, compared to, like, most regular people, he's more relatable than anyone else, any other owner out there. He's just like at a UFC wearing like a little kid's jacket.
He's a regular person that just happens to have a lot of money. You see what car he drives. You see where he eats. You see his hair. You see his fashion.
Yeah.
He's got a white fanny pack and some freaking New Balance. Like, this dude is just a regular
fucking
guy.
The man's got style, what you're trying to say, obviously.
The guy shops at Marshall's. Like, he knows what the fuck's up.
I heard a great line about Will Ferrell. They said, he's not a funny guy. He's a guy that does funny stuff. And I think that's like a really good way to think about it. Like, when he dressed up as like the semi-pro guy, you saw it this week when he was doing the shoot around at the, for the Warriors. Right. Mm-hmm. And he's just like there and to get up. It's like
Jackie Moon.
That's kind of like Mark Davis. Like, he doesn't act like a guy. He's not a money guy. He's a guy with money. That makes sense.
Yeah, he's just a regular dude that just happens to have a lot of money.
Yeah. I mean, like, don't get it twisted. Like, he's building, you know, a $10 million mansion and, like, you know, like, he didn't live a normal childhood. Like, he's a one percenter of a one percenter of a one percenter.
Yeah, he's got a ton of cash, but it's like he's on the floor. He's walking around like a regular dude.
Drinking a Coors Light, hanging out with Cowboy Cerrone, right? Like,
he's rocking the C-minus.
Yeah.
Hanging out with the cowboy, hanging, freaking finger blasting Shania Twain when no one's watching. Like, he's getting his finger stanky. Whatever, bro. Whatever.
That is a power couple if I ever saw one. Shania Twain, Mark Davis.
Picking her up like a six pack.
Did Mark Davis ever get married, or is he married?
I think he was married. I don't want to think of it like that. If I had that much money, I'd never get married.
I want him just pillaging. You know what I mean?
Genghis Khan of freaking Las Vegas.
Yeah, just going at it. Just, there's gonna be like 10 years from now, there's gonna be all the middle schools all over Las Vegas. There's gonna be random kids with bowl cuts and little like freckles on. You know what I mean? Just paternity suits all over the place. I hope terrible. That's the case. All right, first up, question of the day, and I know you hate this one, Soto, but we can't make, we're a democracy on the Autumn Windbags.
No, we're not.
I'm not gonna make a ruling that just goes against what all of our viewers think. So there's the most famous clip from this show that everybody loves.
And now you're gonna play it again.
And of course, I got to play. I got to give some context, right? So this is the clip that everyone's been asking about. The people.
No one's asking about it. No one's asking about it.
I get letters every day in the mail asking more of this Soto losing it clip.
No one writes letters.
I'm not saying anything. Derek Carr can come and I will suck his dick.
So that's good stuff, Soto. Come on. That's quality YouTube television if there ever
Look,
was.
Look, number one, I was in a compromised state.
Okay.
My sugar was way low.
Oh, that's what it is. Okay.
Wait, I'm very dark right now. Hang on a second. I gotta get my lighting right. What the hell?
Just in case you flip out again, I want to make sure the lighting's good. There you are.
Jesus.
So the question of the day is: do we retire the clip, or do we keep it? Because it's been played a lot, right? It's
you don't want to play it out. It's like I don't you have to have.
Yeah, I don't want to say it's ran its course, but I don't want to play it out, right? Like you don't want to hear. Like when you hear your favorite song on the radio for a week, you're like, awesome. You hear it every day for a month and you get over it, right? I don't want that to happen to this amazing gem that will, I think, one day be in the museum of radio and television because it's so quality, you know?
Look, the thing is you're ruining my chances of ever getting into any type of museum of anything by playing it over and over and over again because people have to miss it to want it.
Okay.
That's what I think.
All right. So that's the question of the day. Do we retire it? Do we play it more often? Do we just bring it out on special occasions?
You're just playing it for no fucking reason. You're just playing like, hey, did you guys check this out? And you're just playing it.
I'm asking the question. We can't ask, does this thing exist or not exist
you
or get rid of it?
You played it in your last show for no reason.
I can't think of a better way to say goodbye.
That's fucking bullshit, but whatever.
All right. That's the question of the day. All right. Obviously, the big news, in case you've been under a rock for a while. Russell Wilson, a donkey. Mm-hmm. Adam Schefter broke the news yesterday, and it's funny because it was like Aaron Rodgers did his contract yesterday. He kind of like disputed it on Twitter, but it was essentially like reported that he did his contract. And then it's like Aaron Rodgers is like, "Oh right, finally, a day just for me." And then bam, the biggest trade in NFL history goes down.
Broncos says, psych!
After weeks of negotiations and one of the largest trades in NFL history, the Seattle Seahawks and Denver Broncos have agreed to terms for a deal involving Super Bowl-winning quarterback Russell Wilson. Trade is pending a physical and Wilson's approval. So most of that's already been done. I think all the physicals have been done minus one player. The terms of the deal have slowly been coming out. Two firsts, two seconds, three players. And the Broncos get a fourth rounder and Russell Wilson. I mean, biggest NFL quarterback trade ever?
That's a lot, dude. That's a lot. That's a big haul.
I mean, a prime 9-time Pro Bowler, Super Bowl champion quarterback, which on paper, unless the Seahawks know something we don't, on paper, several years of prime left going to a team that we've been saying forever, like if they're just one good quarterback away from being serious Super Bowl contenders, a haul like that. I mean, you remember like Joe Montana got traded, but it was like way end of his career. He only played two more seasons.
Mm-hmm.
That probably, you know, Peyton Manning, he was like basically cut. Like that wasn't a trade. Tom Brady, his contract ran out. That wasn't a trade.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, this is monstrous. Like, this is the trade that we talk about every offseason that never happens, right? Every offseason, we're like, oh, wow, Aaron Rodgers should go to the Raiders, or, you know, like, Tom Brady should go to the Niners. Like, these giant trades we think and, like, hypothesize and everyone talks about every offseason. They never happen. This is that.
That's it.
This is the trade that never happens. It happened.
Yeah. And I was shocked. I was shocked at what Seattle got back in return. They're not having to not, I mean, they get the picks back and they get basically three starters. Mm-hmm. Locke is going to be their bridge quarterback. They're going to use him unless they flip some of the stuff that they got to get someone else. He's going to be the guy that's going to be their bridge quarterback. If they draft somebody or whatever they do going forward, they got three starters and four picks, four premium picks, because you know, like the first 12-ish picks, those are like the premium players of the draft.
They got a ninth overall.
Yeah, they got ninth overall. That's a premium pick. After that, like number 12, 13, 14 to number 50, they're about the same. Just depends on your flavor and what your needs are. They're all in the same category, and they're all about the same. So a second round, a late first round into the second round is about the same thing. So you get two of those and two first round picks. Yeah, man. That's a big haul. And three starters.
And this is what's crazy. I think the Broncos got the way better end of this deal.
Oh yeah, if it ends up working out, if Russ's finger heals up properly,
I'm saying just value wise.
Oh yeah,
right?
Man.
Because think about it. Russell Wilson had a no trade clause in his contract, so that drastically limits who they can talk to. I think if Russell Wilson was on just the open market, as opposed to, all right, there's only a tiny handful of teams that they're going to go to, right? Like, one, they're not going to trade him within the NFC West, obviously. They're not going to want him out in the NFC at all, which is, according to reports, why they didn't go to the Commanders in Washington. Mm-hmm. So you've eliminated half the teams, right? And then Russell Wilson can decide, like, I don't want to go to a crap AFC team. I want to go to a team like the Broncos. It's got a great defense and weapons and a good O-line and a team that's basically just one good quarterback away from winning. Like, it's simple supply and demand, right? You've severely limited your trading partners. And so now the Broncos are like, all right, we're literally bidding against ourselves. Like, that's all we're bidding against is us. So we don't have to go crazy. If it was literally just like an auction, like all other 31 teams come to the table and say, all right, here's our offer.
Of course.
Imagine what they would have got.
There's always one idiot team that's going to be like, yeah, we'll give you all this. Like the Saints with when they pick Ricky Williams, they give up their entire draft to move up and get Ricky Williams. Like, there's always one team that'll do something crazy like that. Yep. But when there's only a handful of maybe two, three teams, Colts weren't in it because they had traded a bunch to get Wentz the year before. They didn't have those first round picks, so they weren't able to do that. Mm-hmm. You know, who else is in that position to have that team around it? Rory was like, oh, you know, the Broncos don't have the player, don't have a Lockett or a Metcalf on their team. Does he have more weapons? And I'm like, dude, he's got a better line. It's not like he doesn't have weapons at all with the Broncos. The overall offense that he has, maybe not the elite two weapons, but the overall offense with the Broncos is better. With Russell Wilson there, they're more dynamic. They're more well-rounded, and he can be better protected.
Yeah, and I was in the same text chain with Rory, and it's like, well, like, you know, he doesn't have his weapons anymore. I'm like, he was a five-time Pro Bowler before DK came to town. It wasn't like Russell Wilson was some schlub, and then DK came in and turned him around.
Yeah, and he's not going to a team that has a bunch of slap dicks. Like, he's got weapons where he's going. Maybe they're not as elite as the two weapons he's leaving, but he's going to a team with weapons.
Yeah, it's not a barren wasteland in Denver by any means. I mean, just that line in defense alone is better than what he had last season, right? So the real question is now, what does this mean for the AFC West and the Raiders? According to the odds makers, the Raiders are now dropped to a plus 1,000 to win the AFC West. Fourth out of four. And that AFC West is it clearly the best division in football?
Top to bottom,
Clearly the best division in football? Potentially. I mean, just look at the quarterbacks, right? Patrick Mahomes, Super Bowl MVP, four-time Pro Bowler, NFL MVP. Justin Herbert, Pro Bowler, NFL Offensive Rookie of the Year. Russell Wilson, Super Bowl champ, nine-time Pro Bowler. And Derek Carr, who's the schlub of the four, is still a three-time Pro Bowler. And Brent has every passing record with the Raiders. Like,
look,
that is a division that's going to suck to get out of.
Name me another division that has four established starting quarterbacks. Let's just stop there.
Yeah.
Just find me another one of that. Now, if you find another one that there are four established starting quarterbacks, okay. Now they have two Super Bowl champions.
18 Pro Bowls between the four of them.
Pro Bowls.
And one of them's a second-year player.
Dude, it's crazy.
Crazy.
Rookie of the year. We have Rookie of the Year. We have four Super Bowl appearances, two Super Bowl wins, a Super Bowl MVP. offensive rookie of the year. Mm-hmm. Like, dude, this is a crazy division now.
The two best tight ends in football in the division.
Yeah.
Tyreek Hill, arguably the greatest weapon in football, arguably, in the division. It's wild, man. So what does this mean for the Seahawks? Because this is the part. So this is the silver lining. Because I was with you. The second I heard this news, like I saw it on Twitter, I just thought, shit. Our second to worst nightmares come through, right? The worst was Aaron Rodgers would go to Denver. And then we get the news in the morning that he's not. He's staying in Green Bay. Like, oh, shoot, dodge that bullet. 45 minutes later, bam, Russell Wilson's packing his bags, heading to the Rockies. And so the silver lining was this, because I was just like you. I'm like, damn it. This is what we've been fearing for the last season and a half, is that the Broncos would get We were worried they would get a quarterback. Uh-uh. They got one of the quarterbacks. This is the silver lining. And take this journey with me.
All right. Walk me through it.
For the Seahawks to trade Russell Wilson, because like we said, like you don't trade franchise quarterbacks. It never, ever happens. It's literally once ever for something like this to happen, right? And the reason why it never happens is because that's how GMs and coaches lose their jobs. Like, mm-hmm. And it's so valuable. Never been more valuable now than to have a franchise quarterback. They can fix so many warts, right? You mm-hmm. can't. We've seen it's super rare for you to get over those humps without mm-hmm. someone under center that really knows what they're doing, right? So they trade him for two and only two reasons. There's only two reasons why they would trade Russell Wilson. Either one, the relationship got so toxic and so bad that they had to get rid of him. Mm-hmm. That they're just the fighting with Pete Carroll was so bad. The animosity going on was so bad. The chemistry in the locker room was so bad. And we've seen kind of simmerings of it, right? Little tidbits, little morsels of info that, hey, maybe things aren't going great over there. And they're like, screw it. Let's get as much as we can. We got to move on. Mm-hmm. Or two, they think that Russell Wilson shot. They think mm-hmm. that Russell Wilson, the injury last year, there was more to it. Maybe he's slowing down. Like we said, 33 for an NFL quarterback in 2022, still plenty of prime years left. He does play a more aggressive style than a Carr or Brady or Rodgers, right? Runs a lot more. Potentially, he could be more beaten up than we're let up to be. So those are really the only two reasons that you would mm-hmm. move on from a 9-time Pro Bowler with who on paper has good years left.
Also, you have to take a look at something, too, is he's also a smaller quarterback. Mm-hmm. And you can say, oh, you look at Drew Brees. Well, you guys forget something. Drew Brees went to the Saints because he had a potentially career-ending injury, and nobody wanted to touch him.
Yeah.
And that's why he went to the Saints, and miraculously, he turned his career around and was able to continue to play. But nobody wanted to touch him because of the injury that he had, because he was a smaller quarterback and he got injured.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of that involved. The toxic relationship, that's a possibility. It's also a possibility that, the Seahawks looked at the situation. They're like, look, we're not able to give. I mean, it's possible that Russell Wilson is saying, look, I've been a part of this. I know what this situation needs to look like for us to be successful because I've been a part of it.
Yeah.
We don't have that here now, and we're not getting close because we have too many holes, and I don't see the decisions that we're making getting us closer, and I'm not going to be quiet about it. I'm not going to go outside, and I'm not going to go out to the public and say things, but I'm not going to be quiet with you guys. I'm going to still hold you guys accountable internally because you guys aren't making this situation what it needs to be, because I've been a part of winning situations and this is not it. Now, if the Seahawks are looking around and I'm like, dude, motherfucker's got a point. We're not that situation right now. Let's just get what we can for Russell Wilson. Pete Carroll, you're 70 years old. Let's kind of get what we can out of you on a couple of years and have this. What is that? That new show, Succession?
It's not that new anymore, but it's awesome.
Well, it's a pretty awesome show, right? Well, let's have put a plan together and let's build for the future now. And that could also be a possibility too. I don't want to. It doesn't necessarily have to be painting Russell Wilson as the bad guy, because he could very well be right.
Pete Carroll could be like a very happy version of Logan Roy.
Get very possible.
Vibe out of him, just like a happier version of him, you know?
Because honestly, look, Russell Wilson could be bitching, but he could be right.
But like, there's gonna have to be something really bad brewing in Seattle for that to happen. Like, think about it. That's the first losing season of Russell Wilson's career. Like, no team in the last decade has more wins than the Seahawks. It's nuts how they like they have had one losing season all that time. 10 wins, 10 wins, 11 wins, 9 wins, 12 wins. Like, it's insane, right? Like, they were the statue of consistency, of stability. Like, they were the cream of the crop. Like, they never faltered. Right.
Okay.
Like,
but look at this.
This was this. Hold on. Like, if you're gonna leave, like, that's the thing, is smart people don't react instantaneously. Right. Like, oh man, we had one losing season out of 10. I better get out of here. This ship is sinking. Right. Like, you think long term. Like, the Broncos, like, right this second, we both agree their roster is better than the Seahawks. Right. But they've had a lot of years of instability. They've had a lot of years of floundering. Right. And when, you know, you and I think most people point to not having a quarterback as a primary reason, but, you know, there might be more to it. And also, there's a reason why they're not getting a good quarterback. One, it's hard as fuck, right? It's really great quarterbacks don't grow on trees. But two, like, you got to be smart in the front office. You got to have right moves. You got to be a good organization to be able to get that. So for him to bounce and say, like, oh man, the Seahawks, this franchise does not know what it's doing. After 10 years of winning.
But doesn't necessarily mean that he's saying that. That's the thing, RJ. You're painting him into this corner that he's saying that you don't know what you're doing. But this is 2 years now. Last year, they squeaked into the playoffs last year, and they got first rounded by a backup quarterback of the Rams. And then the starting quarterback went in, and that's a quarterback that they didn't even want to play. So they got beat by the Rams quarterback that they shipped away because they didn't want him. Okay. So that could have been brewing last year. Like, hey dude, I dragged this team and there was problems with this team last year. And I dragged this team to the playoffs and we were one and done. We had no business to be in the playoffs. We got fucking our asses kicked. And I'm telling you guys what these issues are, and it's not getting addressed. And I had problems with the way this team was constructed last year and what was going on. I'm voicing my opinions. I'm not going out to the media about it. I'm telling you guys, I'm still being a soldier on the field. I'm bringing us to the playoff, but look what's happening on the field. It's not translating to the field. Okay, we go play again this year. Look what happened this year. I get hurt. Great. I missed a couple games. You know, I understand I got hurt. I went back and I wasn't ready to come back. I still came back and played. I tried my best, but there's still issues on this roster that aren't being addressed. Okay, fine. We understand. I mean, you're painting him like he's the bad guy here. He doesn't necessarily have to be the bad guy for him for this to have gone down that way.
I wasn't mean that. I didn't intentionally mean to paint him as the bad guy. My thing was.
Well, the words you're using is like, you're painting him out to be the bad guy.
Not at all. He's making it's not bad guy, but you're saying,
your words are saying that Russell Wilson is like, you guys don't know what you're doing. Get me out of here. That's the word you're using.
Well, those are the options, right? Like, it's one of those things are happening, right? Either he doesn't know what he's doing and he's like, oh, I'm going to bail on 10 years of consistency because of one bad year. And it wasn't even that bad. Like, they swept Niners in the NFC. You can sneak into the playoffs. Okay, with the losing record,
but,
right?
Like, what if it's a couple of years of him telling the team, hey guys, we're not addressing these issues on this team, and although we're still getting by, these issues are still cropping up and they're becoming bigger issues, and then these issues finally came to a head this year, and now they're too glaring to fix with a couple of moves here and there, and the team's realizing, like, yeah, this is something that we need to move on from, because these issues that we have, we can't just patch up. Like, in the NFL, the window opens and the window closes just as fast. And if the window closed on them and they can't fix it, because you see, look, they have three good teams in their division
It all depends. They have three better teams in the AFC.
That's what I'm saying.
Like, he's going to a tougher division. So it's like, that's my point, is you're giving the benefit of the doubt to him, right? the benefit of the doubt may be him. The benefit of the doubt may be Seattle, who sees like, man, Russell is kind of a pain in the ass and he's losing it. Let's move. Let's literally do something that's never happened before in the NFL and move on from a 9-time Pro Bowl quarterback.
Yeah, both are possible.
Prominent, right? That's my point.
One thing we can't argue against is Seattle's roster has progressively gotten worse over the years.
Sure. Yeah, they made some bad roster decisions.
That's one thing we can't argue against.
Bad roster decisions, for sure.
That's the Adams trade, that was terrible. Mm-hmm. That's one thing we can't argue against is their roster has gotten worse. So, I mean, is that the only factor? No, but I mean, that's one of them.
So this is what's going to tell me about Russell Wilson is what Seattle does next. This is why we're talking Seattle, because I want to know what kind of Russell Wilson we're getting. Is he coming here because he's pissed off, got out, and he's still amazing? I hope not. Or is he gone because Seattle, who knows him better than anyone else, says, he's starting to fall apart. It's time to move on. Let's sell high and let's bounce. That's what we're hoping for, right? So this is what it tells me. If the Seattle Seahawks tomorrow or next week or whatever, go grab another quarterback. They've had a plan this whole time. They're like, okay, we've been planning this out for months. We're going to move on from Russ. We're going to get all these picks and we're going to go grab whoever, right? That's going to tell me, okay, the Seahawks planned this. They were ready. And this is part of the progression. They've moved on.
Yeah.
If they flounder around and go with Drew Lock or, I don't know, maybe Tyrod Taylor, maybe, or like just kind of like a stopgap, just some random that off the street that they can get.
They're caught with their pants down.
Then exactly. That they were caught with their pants down, like, shit, yeah. We have to move on from Russ. He wants out of here. He's not, you know, we got to bounce. So I'm hoping that Seattle does great, right? Gets a great quarterback, picks up somebody. They were ready to go. They had this all planned out because that would, doesn't guarantee that Russ is shot, but that would tell me that Seattle wasn't caught with their pants down. This was a move that they were, that losing Russell Wilson was part of a larger plan, not just, you know, throwing a Band-Aid on a wound that they didn't expect.
Yeah. This is very similar to when Peyton Manning came over, because Peyton Manning physically was nowhere near to the Peyton Manning that we remembered when he went over to Denver.
He was a carcass. It was Weekend at Bernie's.
Now, he was mentally, he was still able to play the game and he was still able to be a contributor.
Mentally better than ever, right?
Oh, yeah.
More veteran, right?
He was smarter, able to, you know. And even a diminished Russell Wilson is the best quarterback, because he's physically, he's not as beat up as Peyton Manning was when Peyton Manning got there. So as far as the physical tools and abilities, he's the best quarterback they've had since John Elway. Yeah. And I don't think we can argue that.
Yeah.
So
Drew Lock had some pretty good. I'm just
get kidding. The fuck out.
I couldn't
of
even
here.
Say it with a straight face.
I'm like, what? Dude, you're
I tried.
Kidding me?
I couldn't get four words out. I couldn't get four words out.
So, the difference being between this team, this Denver team now, and the Denver team that had Peyton Manning is the stars on defense. They have a good defense, but they don't have those playmakers and those stars on defense.
The players,
the players. Yeah.
I was going to say one more thing. What was it?
Soto Smart. Yes, I am. That I'm a hero. I've saved three lives.
I thought it was two.
I've saved two people.
The number gets bigger and bigger every show.
No.
I saved a battalion of nuns.
No, that's not true. I've saved two people's lives, but the same person, I saved his life twice. Oh. So it's three people, three lives I've saved three times, three occasions.
So technically they're your lives. Like, you own those people now.
The kid, though, I heard he's a bad kid. I heard he didn't do his homework or make his bed. I heard he needed his vegetables.
So you should have let him die. Good job. Nice job, Soto.
He still has a chance to turn it around.
Yeah. So now that Russell Wilson and the Broncos have done the biggest trade in the galaxy, every single big contract, every single big trade, every single big movement, subtly, like the tectonic plates on this planet, moves the economics of the sport, right? We've been seeing it consistently for 10, 20, years, as the rules change and as the game changes, quarterbacks become more and more and more and more and more and more valuable in every way, shape, and form. More valuable in how much they're paid, how much people trade for them, how many of them go in the first round of the draft, even if they're not that valuable. Like, it's by every conceivable metric, quarterbacks are becoming more and more and more valuable. So this is what it costs Seattle to get Russell Wilson. Drew Luck, Noah Fant, Shelby Harris, 2 first-round picks, one of them the 9th overall, 2 second-round picks and a 5th. And then obviously got Russell Wilson in a 4th. That 4th round always makes me laugh. It's like, here is $10 million and we get Russell Wilson and a coupon for 20 cents off at Dino's Pizzeria.
Like, oh. We get a coupon for a free onion break at the Naples Rib Company. It's like, hey, those come in clutch, bro. Those onion breaks are clutch.
What if that 4th rounder ends up being like the next Tom Brady or like some like crazy Hall of Famer?
Stupid shit. Dude, like that 3rd rounder that we traded for what's his face? The kid of Deontay Johnson. Like, God damn it. Yeah.
I'm very like, that's one of the weird things that I'm gonna follow. Like, of the 1 million useless things I follow, that's going to be one of them. Whoever that 4th rounder is going to be and who's he turned into. It's like, oh, yeah, he was part of the – he's better than, like, all of them.
Man, I'm telling you something right now. There are so many sneaky good players in this draft. Mm-hmm. There's a lot – there's defensive line is deep. Wide receiver is deep. Offensive line is deep in this draft.
Yeah.
Corner is pretty deep. You can grab a guy in the 4th, maybe even the 5th round that can be a pretty damn good player. Like, if they came out last year, maybe even next year, they'd be like maybe even a late 2nd or 3rd round pick. Like, you can get some good players in this draft late.
And yet, because there's basically no quarterbacks, everyone's like, oh, this draft sucks, right? Because that's how people look at drafts, right? What are the quarterbacks?
I got into a Twitter beef with some dude who's like, oh, this draft's going to be so boring. I'm like, are you kidding me? Did you not even watch a single second of what these guys were doing? Just the athletic ability alone of these kids. It's disgusting.
So with Russell Wilson and the Broncos and the Seahawks seismically shifting the values of quarterbacks, I really think that Denver got a steal because they were basically the only people negotiating with the Seahawks. If it were 31 people, 31 teams negotiating for Russell Wilson, they would have gotten King's ransom,
a lot more.
But because, economics, supply and demand, the Broncos were basically just negotiating against themselves. So it just shows yet again how much quarterbacks are valued. And so, what is Derek Carr's trade value? What is the number where we'd be happy to trade Derek Carr, right? Like, what's the haul? Because I said it multiple times, I don't want to trade Derek Carr unless we're getting a better quarterback, right? Unless we're packaging it somehow to get someone better, right? Mm-hmm. Just not interested. We've seen what quarterback purgatory looks like. We just saw what it costs to get a good quarterback, right? Like, that's the going rate. And that's the going rate when it's just a one-on-one negotiation. We saw with Aaron Rodgers' new contract, what it costs to have a four-time NFL MVP, back-to-back NFL MVP quarterback. Like, that's the cost of good quarterbacks, right? So if a team does come to the Raiders and says, we want Derek Carr, this is what we're offering, what would you accept? Or what would you say? Okay, this number I can live with. Let me ask you that question a second. Not what you think, not what you think he's worth just in general, but what you would accept to move on from Derek. Because I think there's two different, I think that's two different answers, two different questions.
What I accept for Carr. I had a different answer earlier today when Wentz got traded. Mm-hmm. He got traded for 2/3.
Yeah.
And a swap of seconds. And I was like, God damn, that really hurt. I think I thought at the time that really hurt Carr's value, trade value, because you look at Wentz's numbers, just the numbers, and although he threw for a lot less yards, he threw for more touchdowns and half the interceptions, and his QBR was about the same. And he just happened to have his worst two games, the last two games of the year. And I'm thinking to myself, for two threes, that's it, huh? In the report,
For $28 million, I would have wanted like a Jared Goff thing. It's like, all right, we'll give you we'll take your quarterback, but we want stuff with the quarterback because that contract.
Yeah, give me some of that cash, you know?
Right, if I have to pay Carson Wentz $28 million next season and a $5 million roster bonus coming up in like a week, you give me 2/3. The fact that Indy got 2/3 was like, geez, Frank Wright, give him a trophy. Like,
yeah,
you actually got value out of Carson Wentz after that season. It's like,
that's crazy. That's crazy. If you look at the season as a whole, it doesn't seem all that bad. But at the way the season ended and then the reports that came out afterwards, yeah, that was, I don't know what the fuck they're doing over in Washington, but that kind of shifted everything. So Carr doesn't have that kind of baggage on him when the guy that wanted him ships him out for 2/3. So I would say a couple of first day picks and a couple of second day picks.
So like 2 1s, 2 2s?
2 1s, 2 2s, 2 1s, 2 and 3, something like that on there. Yeah. The thing is look, I'm trying to be realistic here. Now, I'm not trying to say this is what he's worth and blah, 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 because that's different. You have to look at perception here, and the perception is Russell Wilson is seen as a winner, and whether it's fair or not fair. He's been to the Super Bowl a couple times, been to the playoffs, and that's not all on him. I'm not saying it is. And I was saying that Carr not going to the playoffs more is all on him either. But there's a perception about him being more of a quote-unquote winner. And that carries more of a mystique, and he's valued more. That's what I'm saying. And that's why if you get 2 first-day picks and 2 second-day picks, maybe a swap of – I mean, something like that. Being creative, that would entice me. That would get me to be like, all right, that's something that we can work with. Because now you can then work with something that – and then you can work with that and stuff that you already have to then also get a quarterback – maybe of your own.
Yeah. And it's all like you said, like, you know, a first round draft pick, right? A first round draft pick for team X. It has a value, right? It has, you know, a value, you know, it's a cryptocurrency, right? It has a value that we've all kind of agreed it does value because this is kind of how we treat it, but it obviously means more and different things to different people, right? For a team that desperately needs a quarterback, a first round pick last season was gold. Like, it means so much more than a first round pick this season because there's really no quarterbacks in the season, right?
And where is that pick? Is it a high pick? Is it a low pick?
Is it top 10, top 20? Is it, you know, the Niners traded 2 first-rounders to get to number 3? Like, it was so valuable, right? Like, they need, it was so valuable to do that, right? So same thing with Derek Carr, because not only are we trading it for just the value of Derek Carr, right? The skills of the carbon-based life form that is Derek Carr. But if we're trading Derek Carr away, that means we're punting on next season. That means we're restart, like we're reloading, right? We're starting over,
yeah,
right? Whole new coaching staff and a new quarterback. Yeah. That means you're starting over, right? So if Derek Carr was on the Jags or the Jets or, you know, a shit team, His value would be less because you already suck. You're not giving away, you know, like, hey, we're you know, our playoff chances are gone now. It's like, no, they were never there. So I think that's why Derek Carr's value is so high to the Raiders this season, because they're coming off a good season and he's a core part of that, and because of his skills and other things. So it's like the timing, how well the Raiders are doing. These are all parts to me that say, like, all right, if we trade Carr, like, we need to get it needs to be part of like a 3-way deal or something to get another. Yeah, really
that's
good
what I was
going to
say. That's what I was going to say.
Or like a freaking king's ransom, because trading Carr means, all right, we're giving up on next season. So you better make it worth our really, really make it worth our while if we're going to not try to build on at worst our second best season in the last 20 years.
Yeah, because, I mean, Ziegler's on the phone and he's talking to Team X and says, like, "Hey, man, I'm gonna flip Carr and get some picks. I want your quarterback." And they're like, "Well, where's the pick? Well, I got all, we got our pick. Like, you're 22, bro. That doesn't interest me.
Yeah.
Okay, well, I'm going to get, you know, San Francisco's pick. They're like, fuck that, bro. They're going to be higher than yours. Like, their pick's higher than yours. Okay, well, one of the Giants picked. Oh, that's a top 10 pick. Mm-hmm. Now we're talking. Now, you son of a bitch, I'm in.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, okay, now we're talking, right? Like, just as an example. I'm not saying I heard anything. But that's where the conversation starts. So that wouldn't – I mean, in my scenario, that conversation – those conversations would be going on at the same time. You'd have to line that other deal up while you're lining up the first trade.
Yeah.
Because I see it the way you see it. I wouldn't line up, and I wouldn't trade Cardinals to have something else already lined up.
Yeah. And it, I mean, it's all kind of a mute point right now, because the two that made sense to me, like, the only reason I would think to move him from Carr is the two available quarterbacks that are clearly better than him, that are clearly available, or semi we thought were available, Aaron Rodgers and Russell Wilson, right?
They were available. I told you from the beginning they were available. It's
well, Rodgers. Well, look, again, Rodgers wasn't, and it took the biggest trade ever to move on from Russell Wilson. Like, this is the thing. Like, let's not pretend that this trade is now like, oh, it happens all the time now. It's like, it's literally never happened, a trade of this magnitude. Like, that's
he was available because he was got available, traded. Right?
And so that's my point is, I wouldn't accept like picks for Carr. I would only be in a situation where we would give away picks with Carr
to get
someone somebody better, for a Russell Wilson or Aaron Rodgers. I don't know if there's a single quarterback.
Now, if you give away Carr, if you give away Carr, you wouldn't have to give up as many picks.
Yeah, 100%.
Yeah.
And especially like Seattle would have made perfect sense. Is all right, Russell's just not working for us, right? It's just
I'm not saying I would have done the deal. Before I get roasted, just freaking relax.
Do you think Seattle hit up the Raiders?
Oh, I'm pretty sure they did.
Yeah.
I'm sure a lot of teams
did. We'll give you
Russ. I know for a fact Washington did and Indy did.
Yeah. But the difference is the Seahawks have something we want, right? They had Russ, right? That's going to be a what if. Hopefully that kind of comes out, like all the different deals that were like whispered about and talked about as the season goes on. I'm really curious if there was any serious negotiations between Seattle and the Raiders to swap quarterbacks, and then what the Seahawks also wanted.
Yeah, Mick Ziegler's trying to win, bro. So nothing that Washington has us winning. And then the Colts call us and they're like, hey, man, you want to swap quarterbacks? And, you know, they're like, ring, ring. We're like, hello, Indy? Yeah, what's up? Wentz for Carr. Wentz and picks for Carr. And we just hang up on him. Like, get the fuck out of here. We don't want that.
Up on him. We break our cell phone, throw it into the ocean, drive a boat down there, harpoon the phone. Like, oh, God.
It's like when your chick tells you to call your side chick and be like, call and tell her, listen, bitch, you're fucking up my family. Quit calling me. Don't call me on this phone anymore.
Do you think any of this does anything with Carr's potential extension or not or whatever is going to happen with Carr contractually coming up?
I don't think so, man. I think Carr's extension I think that there's going to be a closer eye on Carr next year, because we'll see how Russell Wilson does in a new system and how Derek Carr does in a new system, because there's no excuse
again, right?
See, because if Russell Wilson plays well in his system, Derek Carr better damn well play well in his new system, because there's no excuses now. You got weapons, he's got weapons. You hear a new system, he's in a new system. Ball out. No excuses. Let's go.
The AFC West.
That's a minefield, bro. That sucks.
Well, it's a minefield, but there's a ton of question marks. Like, think about it. Denver, new coach, that great defense that Fangio was a big part of. Gone. New quarterback. Is he going to jive? Right. A lot of question marks there. The Raiders, you know, they're considered the biggest underdogs, but McDaniels and Ziegler, like, do they just mesh perfectly with this roster and just take off? Right. Like, have they absorbed all of the Belichick and Kraft and New England mojo and just like bring it all to Las Vegas, and they're just like crushing it? The Chiefs are already offloading guys because of cap problems. right? Like,
I don't know how they're going
to. The tight end that will remain nameless is getting older and older and older.
I don't know how they're going to pay Orlando Brown, dude.
Right?
I don't know how the hell they're going to pay him.
So, like, they're that's happening. The Chargers, I do not believe in their coach at all. Yeah, supposed to be some like defensive genius, and their defense was worse last season. It had been in forever, right?
Yeah.
So, like, you're right. The AFC West is, I think, clearly the best division in football. But there's a ton of question marks. Like, a lot of things have to go right for all these things. I guarantee one of the four teams is going to completely flounder just because of odds, just because of so many things have to go right with all the new moving pieces with all these, with all four teams.
The thing is, you have erasers on every team. You have quarterbacks that are good enough to erase a lot of things that are bad on the team.
Yeah.
And that's the thing is, like, if you have, like, Baker Mayfield isn't a good eraser. He's just not that good. He's not, I mean, I'm not saying he's not a good quarterback, but he's not that good to be an eraser. He's not an eraser.
When you have a number two pencil, and you know when you erase too hard and the whole eraser falls off and then you just, like, scratching the paper, that's Baker Mayfield. You're just scratching the paper.
Yeah, so and each one of the quarterbacks on in the AFC West is an eraser. They can erase a lot of things on your team. Now, depending on how big those things are and how often they creep up, we'll see. But yeah, there's a lot of question marks going on there. But there's a lot of question marks in the league every year with injuries and how things play out and the movement in coaching staffs and stuff like that. But ultimately, teams with good players win games, man. There's a lot of good players in this division.
There's less continuity in this division than for how good the division is. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
There's
something in my eye.
Multiple new coaches, right? New head coach for the Raiders, new head coach for the Broncos, only a second year coach for the Chargers. New quarterback in Denver, cap problems with Kansas City.
The Roosters are coming home to roost.
I mean, it's going to be like a lot of things have to line up for these teams to really pan out. Right. So like it's one thing for like, that's why no matter how like good the Raiders do in spurts over the last few years, like they'll start out hot. They still like never are good odds to win the Super Bowl ever. Even after like 2016, even after this season, 10 win season, when Derek Carr's lights out, or like the random times, like the 15 years, you know, the 10 years before Carr, we'd maybe start hot. No bookies took them seriously because they're never consistently good. There's no continuity with the Raiders. They'd spark, but bookies don't count that, right? Continuity matters a lot for how odds makers view, you know, teams
too
moving
much,
forward.
Too much turnover, yeah.
So obviously, right, the Chiefs are still the Chiefs, right? They still have Mahomes and Reed and, right, like this, they're still the Chiefs. A lot of question marks, though, with that cap. How much of the Chiefs are they going to be? Chargers drastically underplayed their talent last season. Mm-hmm. Second year coach. Raiders, a million question marks, right? New head coach, new GM. We still don't even know what we're doing with our defensive line and corner and O-line and all this stuff, right? So it's like, for as talented as they are, continuity, I think, is one of the most undervalued things that fans look at. And one of the most overvalued things that odds makers look at.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's just been tough, man. It's been a tough ride for us. Hopefully, with this regime change, it's going to bring a calming influence, and we get some answers coming up in this draft where the draft picks make sense. Where we're drafting, where we're not scratching our heads and pounding the table, and we don't have to fight with each other over our picks. We don't have to fight as Raider fans over we should have taken this guy. Well, this guy's going to be good. The thing that I hate the most is watch. You're going to see this guy. He's going to get better. He's going to get better. Watch. He's going to be this. He's going to be that. Yeah. That's what I was hearing last year about Leatherwood, and he ended up being terrible. And then I'm hearing again, watch. He's going to be better next year. Watch. I'm like, dude, you said that before the season started last year. Mm. And it's like, I want there to, why can't we hit on a guy? You know what I'm saying? You know,
well, we hit on a ton last drafts.
We did hit on a ton.
So we've got some big decisions to make.
We do.
The 2019 draft for the Raiders They're all entering their fourth season, right? And with the current rookie deals that are happening with the NFL, you've got 4 years on your rookie contract and then a possible fifth-year extension, and then you go from there, right? So our three first-round teams, like this is supposed to be the draft that sends the Raiders back into the stratosphere, right? This was supposed to be the draft. We had three first-rounders, and it was supposed to just like change the game for us forever. And it did, but it was at the end of the draft. Max Crosby at four, Hunter Renfro at five, Trevon Mullen at two is still a pretty good pick. But the three first rounders were Clay Farrell at four, Josh Jacobs at 24, Jonathan Abram at 27. Mm-hmm. According to their status, and there's multiple things that go into this, but to pick up their fifth year options, it'll cost Clelin Farrell will cost us $11.5 million. Josh Jacobs will cost us over $8 million, and Jonathan Abram will cost us almost $8 million. Mm-hmm. Any of those options? Let's start with Clay Farrell. Is there anything he can do next season? Realistically, I know like walk with me. Is there anything he can do next season that would say that would tell you, all right, we're gonna pick up his $11.5 million? Let's say he goes absolutely nuts.
He needs to play like Max Crosby. He needs to be that level.
Yeah. Because you have to make up for three seasons of shit.
Exactly.
Right?
And you have to be that guy now. You have to be counted on to be that guy. You can't just show flashes anymore. Flashes are for guys who are in their first year, second year. You're not in your fourth year. You have to show that, or no, would it be? Yeah, in your fourth year. You have to show that you're that guy. You're one of the team leaders. You're one of the best in the league. And maybe you were drafted too high or whatever, but you're going to be paid for that position.
Yeah.
So you better play like you should have been in that position. I don't see him being picked up. If they picked that, I would be extremely shocked.
I think with Clay Farrell, would you want to keep, okay, so let's say after his fourth season, he's essentially cut, right? We're definitely, like you said, he'd have to play like a top three lineman in the NFL to pay that much after how bad he's been the last three seasons, right? Let's say he plays okay. He improves and he's a solid rotational defensive lineman for the Raiders, right? We cut him. Do we make a solid effort to bring him back, though? Say, all right, you're on the free agent market. Go test the waters. Is that anyone you'd want on the squad at all? Or is it like, look, you've played so bad. The taste in our mouth is so terrible. I know it's not your fault you were the fourth overall, but you were the fourth overall, and you played nothing like the fourth overall. Let's just cut and go.
Yeah, pretty much. Let's just cut and go. The thing is, it's like, look, even though it wasn't your fault that you were taken fourth overall, if we keep you around, we're still going to have to pay you some sort of money. Mm-hmm. And it's like, look, let's just, maybe you'll catch on somewhere else. But as of right now, you need a change of scenery. It's just not working out here for you. You didn't dress most of the games. You're mostly a special teams guy. Like, no, it's time.
Now, the best of the bunch is probably the toughest one of the bunch. Josh Jacobs, because he's a Pro Bowler, $8 million, roughly, that he's going to be owed.
Yeah.
If you pick up his fifth-year option. That's a lot of money for a running back. That's a lot more money for a running back who's basically a two-down back. That's even a lot more money for a running back who gets hurt every season. What do we do with Josh Jacobs?
Well, depending on how he plays this year and how he plays in the system, if he can be the lead back of, because look, Josh McDaniels never uses one back. He always uses multiple backs. He always usually uses three backs quite a bit, but he does have a lead back that he uses more. If Josh Jacobs can be that lead back that he uses more, we can extend him through and not have to just pick up that 1 year, fifth year option. So we don't have to pay him $8 million for that 1 year. We can extend him and pay him less and spread it out. I would recommend doing that depending on how he does in the system, but it is a system that is built for a Josh Jacobs because he specializes being a first and second down back because McDaniels does like to have specialty backs for certain packages, like a third down package or short yardage and stuff like that.
Do you think Jacobs would do that? Do you think he'd say like, all right, you know, I'll take this, you know, 3-year, $15 million deal, whatever now, as opposed to taking that, taking the $8 million, you know, the, because I think he thinks he's worth that. I think he thinks he's worth that. And so if we offered him, you know, 3 years, 15 mil, he's going to say, screw you. I'm going to be a free agent and test the open market.
No one will give him that money because he's more valuable to us than anyone else on the open market.
He's got a Raiders tattoo. That should count.
Dude, he's more valuable to us in our scheme, in our system, than he would be to someone else because he's not going to be the lead back for another team. It's just not going to happen.
Jerry will. Yeah, there's teams. He's a good running back. He's definitely a good running back.
I don't know, man.
He's a top 10 running back.
Okay.
You don't think so?
The thing is, I don't know that teams will sign him to be their lead back. I think teams will sign him to a shorter-term contract or a lesser contract because they want to draft. Running back needy teams are not going to sign a specialty type two down injury prone running back to be their lead back.
Well, this is why I want to trade him, and I've been saying it since last season.
But you don't have to trade him if you make him work within your system.
But that's my point. I don't think he'll take a, you know, 3 or 15 million. Like, that's kind of what you're thinking, right? 5 mil a year.
About that. Yeah.
Something like that, right? It's like a 3 year, 15 mil.
Three
like,
or 15, yeah.
I don't think he'll take it. I think he thinks it's worth that 8 mil.
I think he sees the climate in the NFL and how things are going when running back needy teams and what they do when they do sign a veteran running back. Mm-hmm. They don't sign a veteran running back for big money like that unless you're fucking John Gruden's dumbass. They'll sign a running back for a couple of years at lower money.
But isn't that what like his agent's telling him? It's like, hey, you only need one John Gruden out there, right? Kenyon Drake only needed one coach willing to pay that money.
What did he pay him? What did he pay him?
Two and 11.
Yeah. What's the difference? It's the same shit.
Well, I think Josh Jacobs thinks he's worth more. I think Josh Jacobs puts himself up with the elite. I think he thinks he's a Nick Chubb. You know, Ezekiel Elliott, like, I think he thinks that. I mean, because again, I don't want to lose him. I want to keep him around. Right? But he's just so limited, right? He's essentially a two down back and he gets hurt every season.
Like, if we say, Josh, look, they could give him like a bonus system, you know, we're going to use you in this specific way to get the most out of your skills. And if you hit these markers, you're going to get paid more money. We'll give you this, but hit these markers. And this is how we're going to use you to ensure that you get these bonuses.
I just think of how like Devontae Booker basically like outright like yards per carry beat him. I'm just like,
yeah, but it's all on how you use them, bro. It's all on how you use them.
I say he's more valuable as trade fodder.
It's possible.
We'll see. Last one, your favorite player, Jonathan Abram, 7.9 mil owed. Basically didn't play his first year, right? Played one game, got hurt. Second year, didn't get hurt, right? Didn't get hurt a second year at all, right?
Nothing should have. He hurt us.
Terrible, terrible in coverage.
Killed me.
Third year, did he lead the team in tackles before he got hurt?
No, it was always Perryman.
He was second, right? He was at least second in tackles. And it was close, right? Him and Perryman were right there. But he made a lot of great tackles for us. And his coverage went from just not knowing where to be and not being there
to not being in coverage
position,
at all.
To being in position, but not making the play, right? So being like, oh, now we know for sure it was Jonathan Abram because he's jumping for the ball and missing, right? So this is my thing with Jonathan Abram. $7.9 million. It's not, he doesn't have to make an adjustment like Clay Ferrell would need to be able to keep him. But this is what Jonathan Abram has going for him that Clay and Josh don't. He's going like this. Like he's improving every season. That's what kind of I care about more than what did you do this season? It's what direction are you going? Renfro's like this. Max Crosby's like this, right? Like that's what I want to see. And Abram, he's improving. If that trajectory of improvement keeps going up, maybe 7.9 mil for a really good starting strong safety might make sense.
Yeah. So here's my counter to that. Although his play is going like this, His injury history is going like this.
Huge. Yeah.
Right? That's not good.
He'd have to not get hurt next season as well.
Yeah.
He can't just play good for like 8 games and then get hurt. He has to be healthy all season.
The three areas you don't want to get injured as a football player is your knees, your shoulder, and your neck.
Ball sack. Oh, neck. Yeah.
Your knees, shoulder, and neck. Ball sack is fourth, yeah. And he had two season-ending shoulder injuries. Mm-hmm. Those are going to continue to happen and continue to nag him throughout his career. He's a young man. I don't wish bad on anyone, even my worst enemy. I don't wish bad on anyone, but this is just the fact. It's just how we're constructed as human beings. You continue to lead with your shoulder like we're taught to tackle people in the NFL, and you already have damage to that shoulder. It's going to continue to get wear and tear on it. The way he plays, the way he hits, that's one thing going wrong. Another thing going wrong is the defensive scheme of Graham. He's very multiple. His safeties have to be able to be multiple as well. He asks a lot of his safeties. His safeties have to play in the box, and they both have to play out deep. Unfortunately, we've seen Abram can only play effectively in the box. So you're chopping off Graham and his defense and how he wants to coach by not being able to do half or maybe even three quarters of the things he expects a safety to do. Those are two very big strikes against Jonathan Abram moving forward that he has to really improve on if he wants to stick around. He's another candidate to get extended at a lower cost, but I don't see it's just the injury history alone and
who's gonna commit to that injury history?
No one's gonna want to commit to that injury history. Two season-ending injuries out of 3 years, and the year that he did play was what, one of the worst ranked safeties in the league against the pass. Like that's a tough ask.
So I'm not making a case for Abram. I guess I am making a case for Abram for the sake of this argument. But for one, he's the cheapest, right? 7.9 mil. Not crushing numbers, right? Not like Clay's 11, right? Like 7.9 mil for a good safety is going rate in the NFL. So it's not like it's, you know, 8 million for a running back, inflated, right? 7.9 for a safety. Yeah, that's right. If he plays at that level, right? I feel like Jonathan Abram next season, I don't think anyone knows right now if he'll get extended, but I think he'll be the easiest decision after the season's done. Because either if he gets hurt again, say Lovey, right?
He'll be the easiest decision in training camp. If he can't play in that system, that's an easy decision for him.
Well, again, because what this whole Ziegler, McDaniels, Graham system is what they pride themselves on is being able to be diverse around your players, right? Like Josh McDaniels' biggest thing is you give me any type of style of quarterback and I can make him successful, right? Graham is not quite that extreme, but generally, like, hey, if there's a really talented guy that doesn't fit my scheme, I will make this scheme fit the guy. That's their claim to
fame. To an extent,
right?
But he expects the most out of his safeties than any other position, and they have to be able to, because the way that he's multiple, the way he's able to do that is by being able to switch back and forth. His safeties being able to switch back and forth, and Abram just can't do that.
So that's my point. Is I feel like let's say he does grab the system, right? Let's say he works in the system training camp, right? He has to be able to grab this system and be injury free, right? So it's going to be a whole season because, you know, to know if he gets injury free or not.
Mm-hmm.
But I think he'll be an easy decision. It's a decision I have no idea what it is right now, right?
Yeah, we don't know.
If he continues improving the way that he has on the same trajectory and stays healthy, we extend him. I think that's kind of a no-brainer with how fast he's improving. Mm-hmm. If he gets hurt again and starts to plateau, he gone.
If he misses games, S plural games again for a shoulder injury specifically, yeah, you can't bank on that.
Unless it's like a finger and he misses a game.
Yeah, it's gotta be a shoulder again.
Yeah.
If it's a shoulder again, it's like, come on, guy. I mean, understand, like, ultimately, like it sucks that an injury cut your career short with a team, but it is what it is, man.
You made enough money, you'll be fine, right?
Yeah,
like, you'll
get picked up somewhere else, maybe. But look, dude, it's the way the cookie crumbles sometimes.
Ready to do some what up winbacks?
Yes, do it.
Gun nerd, the Broncos got a famous quarterback, not a good quarterback. So, well, I don't think that statement's correct. I think
it's not.
Wrong.
I like Gunner too. I just don't agree with that.
I think there's slivers of truth to it. I think there's a whisper of truth into what he said. I think it's fair to say that Russell Wilson is more famous than he is good, right? Like there's players that we know are undervalued and they're really, really good, but they get no love, like nationally. I think it's safe to say Russell Wilson may get more love than his skills dictate. He's still great, but I think he might be, you know, I think maybe people think he's a 9.5, but maybe he's an 8.7.
Yeah, I think we have to see what's going on with that hand, with the finger of his, and being able to grip that ball. If that finger, you know, it's on his throwing hand, you know, shit. If that hand is healed and he's back to 2 years ago, I mean, he still made the fucking Pro Bowl last year, you know.
Yeah.
If a couple of years ago, if he's back to that, then okay, then it's his fame and his talent are about the same. But right now, yeah, he is living off of his stats a little bit.
Enrico Rios, yeah, Carr's not the type that complains, but a closed mouth don't get fed. The quarterbacks that do complain, guess what? They have rings. I mean, some do, some don't, right? Mm-hmm. There's like no nonsense, no complain quarterbacks that win championships. And then there's the bitchy ones that the divas, like the Aaron Rodgers of the world that win as well.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's a combination.
Yeah. I think for the most part, you're going to find that the quarterbacks that are winning games, they're going to be a little bit more headstrong and not quite as go with the flow as the ones that don't. The people that I know that are more successful, they're a little bit more headstrong and they're a little bit more involved and they understand what it takes to win. And if they see something that's not to their standard, they're going to voice their opinion. Now, how they voice their opinion, how they communicate, that's going to differ.
Yeah.
But yeah, man, like you said, a closed mouth don't get fed. That's why my good soldier narrative on Carr, I've never liked it. I never liked it. I never wanted to believe it. I always wanted to think like I always wanted that back and forth, that Gannon Gruden back and forth screaming in each other's face type of thing.
Mm-hmm.
Like I wanted that fire because I think it's if you're the centerpiece of a team as the quarterback is of a team, and you're the one that's being looked at as the person who gets the blame or the credit for a team winning and losing, you need to have a little bit more like of your own skin in the game with the front office to kind of like, hey man, like I'm the one that's being shit on out here and I want to win. I'm not just going to sit back and be like, all right guys, do what you got to do. You know, I want to go out there and be like, this is what I'm seeing. This is what I know of winning football.
Yeah. And I think personalities matter too. Like John Gruden does not accept a quarterback talking like screaming at him, right? Like Rich Gannon, him kind of had their thing, but like Rich Gannon wants people like he had an ego. Like he wants people to be like, yes, sir. No, sir. Oh my God. Great idea, sir. And if that's not the case, then it's just anarchy. Like he needs people that like are about him. Right. There's, you know, a healthy back and forth, it's great, right? Like if two people are involved in anything very high stakes, there's gonna be some conflict, right? Because you both feel so strongly about doing something so important, right?
Mm-hmm.
Every relationship that is built on anything that's not fluff, there's gonna be some friction. Now it's what kind of friction, right? Are you gonna be like Kyler Murray and passively aggressively like delete your shit on Instagram and have your manager like write this novel or your agent write this novel? Like that's crappy, right? That's just passive aggressive.
Yeah. Yeah.
Are you going to be like Aaron Rodgers? Be like me, 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 me. Everything's about me, 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 me. And yeah, he plays it like he can do it because he plays so good. You put up with it. But freaking it's not like
Aaron Rodgers, dude. As soon as the shine wasn't on Aaron Rodgers, he tweeted out, Well, this contract isn't exactly the numbers. Maybe it's a little different. Maybe it's... Oh, my God.
Why aren't they looking at me?
Oh, God.
Why aren't they looking at me?
Oh, God. Slap that
bitch. Pushes
his
tits up at the bra. It's like, oh, man. Why isn't anyone looking at me?
I get what you're saying, man. Hey, just to wrap that up. I get what you're saying about it. I don't have a problem with it. I've never had a problem. Whenever I had people that I work with that we've had heated discussions, I'm like, I don't have a problem with it. We can discuss work and get heated about it and just walk away. And like, I don't take it personal. When you get heated, it means you care. If you're just like, whatever, that tells me that you don't care.
Yeah. The best co-host, cause I'm a radio host by trade, right? Been radio host for 10 years. Like the best radio hosts, co-hosts I've ever had are the guys I've screamed at the most. Because we can have a back and forth and the show's over, we're done. Like Ryan McKinnell, who we've had on this show. We are great together because we've known each other for so long. We can rip into each other because we're passionate about what we're talking about. And then when we go to commercial break, it's like, oh, wait, where do you want to go for lunch? Right? Because it's
just move on. Just
we know what we're like. We're separating friendship and what we're doing. Right? Mm-hmm. It's like, I respect him. So even though I disagree with him, I still respect where it's coming from. Last one, M85. Deuce Gruden is still on the staff. Good to see his pops didn't tarnish his career too. So the Raiders obviously released the entire coaching staff. Still waiting on a tight end coach. Randomly, there was no tight end coach on there. But Deuce Gruden, strength and conditioning coach, just bricked out like the 5'3" pit bull that he is.
Just thick. Just built thick. That fool just power lifter.
I wonder like why McDaniels and Ziegler kept him. Of all the guys on that staff, all the great former head coaches, great guys on that staff, they keep Deuce Gruden of all the guys? They must think he's such like a low level, like such a non-threat. They're like, yeah, might as well let him keep living in the weight room.
Kind of a fuck you to Jar Gruden. Like, hey, guess what? Maybe. Your son's still here, bitch.
Do you think it's a fuck you to John Gruden or maybe a favor to John Gruden? Or maybe like McDaniels gave him a call and said, hey, hey man, it sucks what they did to you. I want to keep Deuce around.
Hey, the kid does a good job. The team likes him. Kid knows his shit. He's fucking jacked as hell. He's built like a brick shit house. We'll keep him around.
He looks like the human version of a cartoon buff pit bull. Like if you took like a Warner Brothers like buff dog that's like on a chain with a spike collar and turned into a human, that's what Deuce Gruden looks like.
He looks like a human version of a He-Man doll.
Just put a blonde wig on him.
Just put a blonde wig on his ass. That's what he looks like.
I hope you don't say that about me ever. All right, that's it for us. We've crossed a couple important thresholds here on the Autumn Windbags, thanks to all of you guys. So we'll be sharing that with you shortly. There'll be some changes, good changes, some improvements. So we're putting a boob job on the Statue of Liberty, essentially, what we're doing here with the Autumn Windbags. So pay attention, like, comment, subscribe, tell your friends, tell your family, tell your enemies.
Tell your haters.
I don't care what you're telling. Tell them about the Autumn Windbags. Until then, knock on wood if you're with me. Thank you so much for listening to this episode of the Autumn Windbags. We really appreciate it. Make sure you check out our YouTube channel. A lot of bonus content on there that you're going to love. I absolutely swear by it. Don't take my word for it. Let's go check it out. Until next time. Later.